This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, November 19th. Coming up this hour, we'll talk to our friend Hans Breitenmoser, dairy farmer up in Lincoln County. He was featured in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article recently talking about the incoming Trump administration and what its intentions of mass deportations would do to dairy farming in Wisconsin. But far beyond that, what it would do to farming and to America's food supply writ large. And we'll talk to Hans all about that coming up in a few minutes. We'll probably talk about the ill-advised, you know, trade wars that Trump wants to get into with tariffs as well. So all of that coming up from Hans in just a little bit. Brittany Merlot is off today. I think she'll be back on Thursday. Everybody's kind of taking their rotation of post-election time off because things were crazy. There's no other word for it. Things were crazy lately. It is 56 here in Chippewa Falls, 51 in Hayward, 55 in Wausau, 55 in La Crosse. Amory is at 53 right now. Wisconsin Rapids, 55. Green Bay, 57. Madison, 58. Waukesha is at 55. And it is 56 down at Radio Park in Racine, where Greg Bach is standing by. He'll take your calls if you care to join us at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number, or you can send text messages to us at that number as well. Or you can leave a note in the comments section on Facebook or YouTube, much like Rob from Tigerton does each morning here on Facebook. He writes, "Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy with light rain and 52 degrees. We got an inch of rain overnight. Looks like areas of eastern Wisconsin could get an inch of snow Thursday morning," he says. He says, "I got to know Tommy Thompson through the Highway 29 project in the 1990s at groundbreakings and ribbon-cutting ceremonies of Highway 29 along the way." And that enables me to jump right into a point that I've made several times publicly and want to say so again here. When I say from a left-of-center standpoint, and when my friends from a right-of-center standpoint, when we say we want to go back to fighting again, what we mean is in the way of we want to talk about what level of infrastructure spending is the right amount. What amount of tax cuts are right? What's the right way to handle a state budget surplus? Not whether we should have democracy or not. And yet that's where we find ourselves. And it's in large part because a faction of the Republican Party has pushed its party further and further into a corner that says you can't increase spending by a dime, because if we're at what they would claim is record spending, and then you spend a dollar more, well, now that's a new record for record spending. And so they're always been about, you know, no new spending. They're about nothing but cuts. Why wouldn't they look at somebody like Tommy Thompson, or frankly, all of the Republican Party before Newt Gingrich and company came along, when Republicans were investors in the American economy? And Tommy Thompson is one of the poster children. There are so many areas where I disagree with Tommy Thompson, whose birthday is today, 83 years old. And yet I have said repeatedly, I would be first in line to send a check in if somebody wants to put up a statue of Tommy Thompson somewhere along Highway 29. Now, he wasn't the only one who got it done, but he showed real leadership in looking at that stretch of highway right through the middle of Wisconsin and seeing all the traffic crashes, all of the lives lost, and all of the economic opportunities if you build that up into a four-way all the way across the state. And that's what got done. And that's what allowed so many communities to thrive, as you can move goods and people back and forth across the state much more easily than you could when it was known as Bloody 29. It's about making the right investments in your state. And we can, again, have disagreements on, should it be four lanes all the way across? Should this interchange be so big? Should it be bigger? Things like that. But when you're so gung-ho on saying, we've got to shrink government and we've got to make no investments, well, you've really killed the future of your party. Which is not that people say, well, what do you mean? Republicans just swept everything. Yeah, you did in a way that really taps into people's fears and anxieties. Oftentimes with narratives that are just flat made up. You know, they've got a big right-wing conservative media universe to spread all this stuff around. And good for them. But again, there's no investment. And so what we're about to see, it's the easiest prediction I could possibly make, is a continuation of the cycle where Republicans will take over. They will make a mess. They will drive up the deficit. Democrats will run on a pledge to clean things up. Democrats will clean things up. They will get the economy rolling again. But of course, you have to make investments in the economy to get things rolling again. That costs money. Republicans will run in the next campaign saying, look at the Democrats spending all that money. We don't need to spend all that money. Voters say, you're right. Republicans get back in. They don't make the investments. They screw things up. Rinse, repeat. That's where we are. That's where we're headed. And anybody who voted for Donald Trump right now is angry at hearing those words. I don't care, because I've got a lifetime of experience of watching the economy go up and down through these various cycles over the past 30 plus years to know that that is exactly where we're going next. And if I am wrong, I will be happy to say so. I haven't had to say so yet, because I remember when Republicans used to be about investing in Americans, investing in workers, investing in infrastructure. And now they are invested in culture wars. They are invested in identity politics, and then projecting that onto Democrats and saying, look, they're all about identity politics as they run all of their anti-trans ads. I remember what the Republican Party used to be, and I know what my friends and neighbors who are right of center want the Republican Party to be again. And it's not going to get there anytime soon. But at some point, the only way America is going to stay healthy is if we once again get a healthy right of center party that does the kinds of things that Tommy Thompson wanted to do. Not all the things. I disagreed with Tommy on a lot of things. But I certainly understood investing in the Wisconsin economy, and that's what it did. So, Rob, thank you for that very much. Alicia writes in on YouTube, I 100% agree. Our legislature needs to be working for the state instead of the party. And she writes, if they really want to cut something, they can take a good deep look at the Department of Defense budget. 7 failed audits in a row is a little much. And yeah, Alicia, that's another fight that Congress is going to have is now, again, if Republicans take the House, and at the moment it looks like they will, there's still inexplicably a couple of races that haven't been fully counted yet. But when it's all done, and if Republicans again have a thin majority in the House, Republicans have a thin majority in the Senate, and Republicans have the White House, well, Donald Trump has the White House, you know, more so than Republicans. When they have all that, they will have the ability to prove us wrong and show that they're willing to make investments, but that they're also willing to look at something like a defense budget and say, you know what, this part of it isn't adding up and you're going to have to do something about that. But then they'll have to go against party orthodoxy, which says the Pentagon can do no wrong. You know, that unless, of course, it's being woke, you know, heaven forbid you have, you know, racial diversity and things like that in your ranks. But other than that, when it comes to spending on weapons, they can do no wrong. Again, if you want to impress the American people, especially the people in the middle, you start looking at some of those programs in defense and saying, this stuff isn't working right. We're going to trim this back till you can figure things out. In much the same way, I have said to people to the left of me, I said, you've got to stop thinking that, again, your particular side can do no wrong. I recall saying to, in this case, it was a teachers union group back in 2010, and they were really unhappy about some kind of position or something. And I said, look, if you want to start winning elections again, you've got to stop protecting your bad apples. You've got to stop saying, well, if they're a union member, then they're there to be protected, end of sentence. No, nobody wants that to fly either. This extremism on either side is something I've certainly spoken out about for my entire career in news and politics. It's just that right now, it's the folks on the right whose extremism is posing a real danger to the economic recovery that we've been in for these past couple of years. Steve from Milwaukee writes in on the text line, Dems, in order to win a majority, need to actively go against neoliberalism. Well, that gets into the whole matter of, you know, what I do last week with my time off. I did not watch a lot of news. I certainly saw enough on my phone to see some of the headlines and things, but I did not immerse myself in it. But yeah, I have definitely seen, again, the finger pointing both ways. And I've simply decided I'm not going to spend a lot of time saying it's the fault of the people who didn't go left enough, or it's the fault of the people who didn't go center enough on the Democratic side. I have to focus where my attention is, where my strengths are, and they are in related to media and news. And I have been watching this right-wing media messaging chamber grow and grow and grow to the point where, as I said a few minutes ago, this election was run primarily on, we jokingly referred to it as vibes. The vibes were narratives that were not necessarily rooted in fact, whether it was about the economy, whether it was about, you know, critical race theory and transsexuals or whatever the case may be. It had so little to do with things that were actually happening in the economy, actually happening in our homes and schools and workplaces. But when you've got a media chamber big enough to pound that message out, survey after survey after survey, you had Americans saying, well, my economic situation is pretty good, but I guess the economy is terrible because I keep hearing it is. And that's what translated into the votes this time around. And so I'm not going to focus on whether the party, Democrats, should be going more left or more right, but simply continuing to build up things like Civic Media and Up North News that bring something really crazy to the national electoral conversation. Facts. Fact-based information. More after this. You're Up North.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
One more from Don Henley on Building the Perfect Beast, the album that was number one this day back in 1982. It is 7:21 on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. The Up North News Daily Newsletter comes out every morning around 5 a.m. Christina Laurie puts that together. And again, you can sign up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, with stories today that included a story about the Guinness Book of World Records and various Wisconsin world records that have been set over the years, and some of the best campgrounds in Wisconsin for year-round camping. Year-round camping. Something I tried as a Boy Scout. I'm no longer a Boy Scout, and I no longer camp year-round. The exercise in trying to start a campfire in the snow nearly broke me and my dad. You're supposed to get, here's your one match, and you're supposed to start a campfire in the snow, and we didn't do so well.
No, but I want to love camping. I want to go out in the woods. I want to just, but I just think about waking up in a tent the next morning, just not feeling comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm not a man of the woods.
No. I've really kind of moved into the stage where roughing it means there's no concierge desk, you know.
Yeah.
Wait, are there not two bathrobes in this closet? I don't understand. So, for those who do, God bless you. It's just not going to be my thing here. Yeah. So, again, learn about those campgrounds in our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. A couple of very quick sports notes here that I didn't get to in the last hour. The Badger women's volleyball team has inched up in the national rankings to number 6 in the country after wins over the weekend against USC and UCLA. And they will play at home tomorrow, hosting 16th-ranked Minnesota. The Badger women's hockey team held on to their number 1 ranking in the country despite losing their first game of the season over the weekend. They are still 13-1 on the year, and they have home games this Friday and Saturday against St. Thomas. The Badger men's hockey team is now 4-8, but that ties them for first in the Big Ten for points, and they host Alaska Anchorage this coming Friday and Saturday evening. The Badger men's basketball team, they are part of a tip-off tournament that begins on Friday afternoon at 4 p.m., pregame at 3 p.m. on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And, of course, the Badger football team next plays this Saturday, 2:30 at Nebraska. The Bucks were one-point winners over Houston, 101-100 last night. Damian Lillard is back after missing 3 games in the concussion protocol. The Bucks have won 3 of their last 4, though they are still 5-9 overall. They host the Chicago Bulls tomorrow. They have a cup game Friday against Indiana, and they play at home Saturday against the Charlotte Hornets. And then finally, the Packers' next game is at 3:25 Sunday, and that's at Lambeau Field to host the San Francisco 49ers. So quick look at the sports here. When I mentioned the Democratic Party and, you know, which ways they should be looking, and I said I was going to focus more on, you know, the messaging and the media part of it, it's not to say that people don't have valid opinions, and while we're running short on time on this segment, you're always welcome to call in or text at 855-75-CIVIC and tell me your thoughts on where the Democratic Party needs to go. I mentioned that Steve in Milwaukee texted in that Dems, in order to win the majority, need to actively go against neoliberalism. You may agree, you may disagree, and I would love to have your thoughts on that, especially if Democrats are making change at the national level. And they're going to. I believe Jamie Harrison is not running for another term as chair of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. And so there is likely going to be some new leadership there, which is going to lead to a big debate on what should the national party be doing. Well, the fact of the matter is that might lead to a discussion on what the state party should be doing, because the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, his name is in the mix for potential chair of the Democratic National Committee. Now, again, it seems like there's always a personal story in here at some point. There was a time a few years back when I was making tours of the state and looking at potentially running for chair of the state party. I was not thrilled with the direction the party was moving in at that point. And I know that other people were also looking at the potential there. This was back in 2018 and early 2019. And as I was touring the state and talking to folks about what the party needs, I get a call from somebody saying, you know, are you familiar with Ben Wickler? I said, no, not really. So, he's been working for this national group for a while, but he's a, you know, Madison area native, and he's thinking of moving back to Wisconsin. And, you know, would you meet with him? And I thought, yeah, that'd be a good idea, especially if I decide to run for state party chair. He sounds like a guy whose support I would want to have. So we agreed to meet at an establishment in Madison one evening. And by the end of the discussion, I was ready to become the chair of his campaign committee. I was so, at that point, because it was not I was not racing to grab the job of state party chair. I just thought that the party itself needed to go into a different direction. And as Ben Wickler was telling me the things that he's done and the things that he wanted to do, I was sold. I was just like, yes, you should absolutely run for this. And he did. And he's been state party chair since 2019. And it's no surprise whatsoever that the things that he has done to strengthen the state party are things that people would like to see him do at the national level. Alicia writes in from Northeast Wisconsin on YouTube, while the WIS Dems are doing a good job, I think the state party could always do better, maybe a little more emphasis on our rural areas. And I think that is it's an evergreen comment, to be sure. And it will be so long as, you know, the Democratic electorate, the rural electorate, continues to go more for Republicans. There will always be ways for the Democrats to improve. The thing is, they've actually been trying now. I recall a phase several years back now when rural Wisconsin was practically written off. And part of it was by necessity. After Democrats were trounced in 2010, you know, they basically had to regroup and start from their bases. But then we got to a point where the party needed to be doing more rural outreach because the fact of the matter is Democratic policies have always been better for rural Wisconsin. It just isn't being reflected in election results yet. Now we're going to talk to Hans Breitenmoser a bit about that right after this break. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back. It's 7:34 on this Tuesday morning, November 19th. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we spent a big chunk of the last hour talking about President-elect Trump nominating Sean Duffy, the former congressman for Northern Wisconsin, to be the next transportation secretary. There's been a lot of chatter about all these various cabinet picks, their qualifications, their potential criminal entanglements. You know, you've got your Matt Gaetz, your Pete Hegseth, Robert Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Kristi Noem, Marco Rubio, now Sean Duffy. Here's one thing that hasn't been talked about a lot. Who's going to be the next Secretary of Agriculture? It's not an unimportant role. In fact, just yesterday from Governor Tony Evers' office came the latest measurement of the impact of the of farming on the Wisconsin economy. Governor Evers and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced that based on a study by the UW Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics, the Wisconsin agricultural production and food processing sectors have increased 11%, and they combine to have a $116 billion impact on the economy. That is 14% of the state's total economic output is related to agriculture and food processing. And so if you're going to do right by Wisconsin agriculture and food processing and jobs and the economy, you'd better have a good ag secretary and you'd better have some good members of Congress who maybe serve on the ag committee. At this point, Wisconsin has neither of those things, but Hans Breitenmoser is going to tell Donald Trump how to fix it all. And he joins us right now from his dairy farm near Merrill. Hans, how you doing?
I'm fine, Pat. Sorry for the delay here. Between my computer and my phone, I'm going to start a conspiracy theory about Elon Musk taking over all of our tech and screwing us over here.
I think you might have been right the first time when you mistakenly said Elon Trump. I think he might change his name.
Yeah, I know. I'll talk about a Freudian slip. Holy smoke!
I mean, whatever it takes to be essentially his shadow vice president. But that anyway, that be that as it may. So I wanted to talk more about the importance of an ag secretary and what we should look for in that person. And then I saw the other day that you were featured in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article about Trump's plans for mass deportation. Now, we have talked about these two main pillars of Trump when it comes to the world economy, mass deportations and trade wars through high tariffs. So we'll set aside the tariffs because I think we've spoken about that much more frequently. But the mass deportations, you did not hold back on what that would look like for, again, a sector that we've now determined is 14% of the total economy for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, and I haven't read the article yet.
Oh, you look good. You came off all right. You know.
All right, good. Do I look tall and thin? Because that was my one request of the photo.
Ooh, sorry, that doesn't work for any of us. No, no. But the words that you said were spot on as far as what mass deportations or even just the threat of mass deportations would do, starting with Wisconsin dairy farms.
Yeah, well, and so, I mean, the gist of that article and the gist of what I've been saying for several years is that agriculture stops working without immigrant labor. That's a fact, that it just stops. So the concern, of course, or the manufactured outrage, of course, is for, you know, against all these illegal immigrants, all the illegals. And what I'd like to take a minute to talk about is what you were talking about earlier, which is to say the message, right? When you take an issue and you make an issue that didn't exist previously and demonize a certain group of people, you're going to get people out to the polls on things that aren't even, you know, reality. And I had an interesting conversation the other day, if I may, fellow that comes to our farm and does a service for us once a month. I was talking to him about the election, and of course he's a Trump voter. And I said something. I made some comment about, well, you know, it won't be long now, and nobody in the dairy industry will have a job anymore because everybody's going to get kicked out of the country. And for those of us, you know, who have white skin, we'll be able to stay here, but we won't have any work. And he said, well, I wouldn't worry about that. They're only gonna kick out, you know, the illegals. And I said, you understand that the lion's share of the farm that you go to, all the people that help you do your work are undocumented people. You get that, right? And he, honest to God, he didn't get it. He didn't understand that. And suddenly I had an epiphany myself, because the people in rural America aren't all nasty bigots, but they've been told this lie that illegal immigrants are the ones that are coming across stealing and raping, the ones that, you know, must be here legally, right?
Right.
That's the disconnect.
I have said many times and will say again that as somebody who has always understood the value of immigration reform and how badly we need immigration reform, we need more immigrants in this country. Even though I've been that person for all these years, I do not have any shame in admitting how gobsmacked I was when Ruth Conniff came out with her book. The title of it is Milked. I recommend it to everybody. And when she said that it was something like 80% of immigrant labor or labor on dairy farms is from undocumented immigrants, and in the Journal Sentinel article, it quotes the National Milk Producers Federation as saying dairies that employ immigrants are responsible for 79% of the entire U.S. milk supply. And by the way, and this is where I like you to point out the distinction here, as Ruth did to me, it's that people would say, well, why don't they just get visas? Well, there are agricultural visas, but not the kind that would work for dairy.
Yeah, I mean, but it speaks to your earlier point about immigration reform. You know, everybody seems to agree there has to be some sort of reform, but nobody really understands how the system currently works and so forth and so on. And then it's become this political football, right? So that when we had a chance at some decent reform to move the needle in the right direction, who killed it? Donald Trump, to make a political issue out of it. So we could have been well on our way in the direction that says, you know, realizes that, hey, we need X number of people in this country to do X amount of work. I mean, think about it, Pat. You're talking, everybody spouts these numbers out, 11 million undocumented people. All right, well, let's take half of them or so. Let's just take 4, 5, 6 million people out of the economy right now, an economy that doesn't have enough people already, and now we're going to take millions of people out of the economy. I mean, I don't have a PhD in economics, but jeepers cripes, I think even I can figure out that that's going to leave quite a hole.
Yes, it is. And for reasons that include the fact that agricultural visas are seasonal. They're designed for allowing migrants to come in and harvest crops. And exactly. then they're supposed to go home after that.
That's right.
That ain't how cows work.
No,
it's a year-round thing, and there's no year-round visa. And despite multiple efforts to try to get year-round ag visas as just a first step in agriculture reform, in immigration reform, Republicans keep killing it.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And they keep coming up with these ridiculous things. But they need that boogeyman, you see, because it gets them votes. When Tom Tiffany can have advertisements to say, oh, well, look at this brown guy. He raped a girl and so forth and so on. Neglecting to mention, of course, that the crime rate amongst these folks is way lower than the average crime rate in the United States.
Correct.
So you demonize these people. You make them the boogeyman, and that gets you elected next time. It's cynical and it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I recall that Tiffany put up a post last week at some point where, again, it was all about, removing migrants. He couldn't wait for mass deportation. And the post that I put up was something along the lines of, hey, congratulations, everybody. Tom Tiffany is volunteering to milk your cows for you. Because, I mean, he knows what the situation is, and yet he continues to spout off about, you know, the need for mass deportation. Well, unless Tom Tiffany is going to show up at a whole bunch of barns, you know, with his boots, I can't use the other term for that, then he is truly talking out both sides of his mouth.
Yeah. It's so frustrating because, you know, those of us who are in the industry see people born outside this country working hard every day, doing all sorts of work, getting the job done as immigrants do and have done for all the years in our nation's history. And to have them othered the way they've been and demonized the way they've been. But again, I think it's per my earlier comments, we have this disconnect in the reality and the messaging. And somehow we need to get over that hump. And I'm not sure how to do that other than what you were talking about earlier is keep this media operation going and make sure that reality is being presented as an option as well.
That's the other thing we've got to do is we've got to make reality a reality. Because right now people think that reality TV is reality when there's nothing in the real world, pun intended, you know, that has any bearing to what people are seeing on their TV. But if you hear those messages, if you see enough of those political ads, again, you think that there's a problem here there is a problem, but the way to address it is to actually try to solve the problem and not just, you know, demonize those who are trying to, you know, make a buck, who are trying to provide for their family and who are, in your case, hiring people because otherwise your farm's got to shut down.
Absolutely. And that is my reality right now. And trying to, you know, understand how my industry continues and how my farm continues without the presence of immigrants. Somehow or another, we need to move that needle on getting business interests to have the ear of the government, which historically hasn't been hard. And I feel like that's one thing that gives me a little bit of hope, ironically enough, is that, you know, since the only thing that government tends to listen to is people with deep pockets, then perhaps there's enough, wisdom in the industries that rely on immigrant labor to tap the brakes on this deportation nonsense and finally come up with some immigration reform. And I don't care who gets credit for it. I really don't. It's a matter of getting things done and doing the right thing. And if the Republicans get that done during their administration, I couldn't care less, but let's just make it happen.
Yeah.
Because real people's lives are impacted in the meantime. That's what people have to understand. Real people are being impacted in a big way in the meantime.
So let's get to the other topic very quickly, and that who might be agriculture secretary. And the fact of the matter is there's a couple of names being bandied about. Sarah Frey, the founder of Frey Farms, and a longtime Trump donor, Charles Herbster. Frey is has participated in lobbyist events throughout D.C. Herbster has, I believe, has a major beef operation. But a lot of the reports say, does it really matter who is the ag secretary? Will Robert Kennedy Jr. basically have all the influence about agribusiness and about farming practices and about food? And I don't think that's going to inspire a lot of confidence in farmers or food producers if they can't tell who's really in charge.
Well, again, it's just this chaos in a cluster, right? Because what we can pretty much guarantee is that Trump is going to surround himself more this time around than last time with people who will do what he wants them to do. It's all about loyalty, and it has zero to do with experience. That's what should concern everybody. And the process is the other big concern. If we're going to get rid of FBI investigations into the, you know, or background checks, if we're going to get rid of Senate confirmation hearings, and the Republicans in Congress go along with that because, oh, don't worry, he'll pick a good person for the job, then it's going to go south real fast. So whether that's in ag or at the EPA or at education or pick your discipline, it's going to have a negative impact on how things function.
And I'll be curious to see as well is whether Derek Van Orden holds on to his seat on the House Agriculture Committee or if Republicans use it as more of a political tool to say, OK, we needed to get you over the hump. We needed to give you something to burnish your credentials. Now that you've been reelected, we're going to put somebody else in there. But again, that's a discussion for another time. A lot to watch throughout the transition. Hans Breitenmoser, thank you as always. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Well, thanks a lot, Pat. Take care.
You bet. Have a great day. When we come back, Chad Holmes tells us more from 98.9 WXCO about what's coming up on his program next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is normally where we would hear from one Chad Holmes, whose program comes up next on 98.9 WXCO in the Wausau area, and you can also hear it on the Civic Media app. Many of the rest of you will catch the Earl Ingram show coming up next. Now, I know that Chad was off last week, as I was too. I thought Chad was back, but I could be mistaken about how these vacation schedules work. I mean, Greg's still here.
I am.
Oh, wait. He is.
There's Chad.
And there's Chad now to tell us more about
his week off. Let's do it again.
There you go. Perfect. Mr. Holmes, how are you?
Whenever you need to get on quickly, that's when they ask you for a password.
For your password, yes.
You know?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, it's like, holy cow, got to find my password.
Chad, is this... Chad, is this you? Are you human? Please
you
press.
Human.
Pick
exactly
all pictures
right.
with cows right. on fence.
Nobody tells you that this is now going to be a part of your regular life, that I now have made it part of my Monday morning routine to log off. I've got four different, you know, Google accounts, you know, one for Civic Media, one for Courier Newsroom, a personal one and a different political one. And I just log off all of them and log back in so that at least throughout the rest of the week, they're not going to kick me off and say, hey, could you verify your password, please? I didn't ask to do that.
Tells that and story while bragging about having four Google accounts.
Well, by the way, Chad, I don't know what you did during your week off. During my week off, I deleted more than 50,000 emails off of just the one account. All of those press releases. Bye-bye.
Recently, I kind of started that process on my work email, and it's like, holy cow, you can spend a whole day doing that. And I'm not, I'm not even close to being done with it.
I did. Yes, Greg.
Are you either of you the kind of individuals who has like either 10,000 unread emails on your phone or like, you know, 30 to 100 unread text messages?
Not so much the text messages, because again, I figured out how to filter them. And so all the junk ones or the ones that aren't in my contacts, they go to a separate place. And I look at them once in a while to make sure I didn't miss anybody. Google Gmail used to be a lot easier to filter out the junk. But when I talk about deleting 50,000 emails, and I know that, you know, I look through all of them as I'm doing this. These were just the ones that you could easily filter, that these were all press releases from groups. I didn't miss like a personal message from somebody or anything like that. It just tells you how crazy email has gotten that. I mean, just put in, and again, I'm just picking one person. I'm picking on Tammy Baldwin. Could be anybody.
Oh my God.
You just put in Tammy Baldwin press releases, and there is no physical way we could ever put on all of the press releases that Tammy Baldwin's campaign people would like us to put on. The volume is just, Chad, it's so fire hosey.
Or Wiz Dems
in your text messages. Yes.
One thing I will say is Greg must be one popular dude if he's got about 100 unread text messages.
No, see, that's
I'm
just,
not that popular.
No, see, that's just it though, Chad. I ask because I know people who are okay. like that. If I if I get 5 text messages in a day, I'm like, what happened?
Now, you certainly get them near the end of every month where they're like, hey, we're coming up on our deadline. You know, won't you help us? And again, I think Democrats writ large need to reassess whether they're sending, not whether, why, they're sending too many text messages and emails and how they can be more effective. Now, I will say as a former candidate, the reason you send these things out is that they work. They do bring money in. And so long as they bring in more money than it costs to send that many out, there's always going to be people saying you got to keep doing it. I would disagree.
I would just also ask that you please title your emails or text messages just a little more sunshiny. Not like, hey, we're going to win this for sure. It's in the bag. But like, if the election was held today, we would lose. I'm like, oh.
And it would be your fault.
Yeah.
Yes. That's one reason I hate the polls, too, because you can take a poll that says, hey, I'm on my way to victory. And then you can take that one poll that says, uh-oh, I'm behind now. I mean, I think there was like, you know, the first time that Tammy was ever behind, all of a sudden it's, my opponent now was taking a 1-point lead. Immediately, yeah. I need your money.
Hey, what did you think of last evening's news about Sean Duffy being nominated for to be Trump's transportation secretary?
Well, I my first thought is, well, he and his family had sent a bunch of their kids to Newman Catholic, which is one of the schools I cover on a regular basis. So I was talking to their AD. I said, congratulations, Newman's own. In the national legislature, as a secretary of transportation. But well, generally, the thing about Sean Duffy, at least from around here, is he's actually the sanest part of the family, because Rachel is the one that kind of drives me nuts.
Oh, my goodness. When you listen to her on Fox News,
I know. Like Sean actually makes him look a little bit
well, but that's what Trump's trying to do with these cabinet picks, is you put in a couple of real crazies and then the only subtly crazies, you know, are able to slide right in, which is kind of weird. But I think we should give a lot of credit to Trump for picking Sean Duffy, because if you're looking for somebody who found the fastest route out of northern Wisconsin and onto Wall Street or onto cable TV, that's your guy. I should have had Greg ready with the rim shot a lot quicker than that.
But. And isn't it sad? Because, you know, when I think about Sean Duffy, I automatically think about Dave Obey.
Because we once had him.
It went from Dave Obey to Sean Duffy. And I think that's, you know, you want to make one paragraph about how things have changed over the years. That's pretty on target here for this world.
And wait till you see the transition from, you know, a Pete Buttigieg transportation department to Sean Duffy and Donald Trump. It's going to be, we're going to have multiple conversations about that. Chad Holmes is coming up next on 98.9 WXCO. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guy.
Greg Bach is back in a couple of hours for Matt and Air on Air. Greg, thank you.
Thank you.
A great day. Have a great time with Jane. A great show. Thanks to all of you for being here this morning. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlau. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.